What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. If you are drafting on the Sleeper Fantasy Football platform, you better hope your league mates are not watching this, because we are going to break down from start to finish the entire draft strategy to employ on the Sleeper platform, going through quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, the Sleeper ADP, where we have these players ranked, where the value pockets line up, and exactly how we would approach a draft on the Sleeper platform. Uniquely, me and Danny play our home leagues on this platform, so this is obviously the one of this video series. We did ESPN and Yahoo already that we are going to have the most experience with, also the one that we have the most skin in the game with. ESPN and Yahoo have a little bit more shallower scoring formats. Sleeper is a PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, and two flex by default. And obviously some people have variations to their league, but my home league specifically follows this exact format. We have some accelerators and such like that, but most of the advice we're going to be giving in this video will be based on those exact scoring settings, and also to the mock draft that we're going to do at the end of this video will be with those scoring settings as well. So Danny, let's get into the quarterback position, talk about exactly how the value lines up. I think it was pretty straightforward in the Yahoo and the ESPN videos where the quarterbacks in general were kind of pushed up the board. On Sleeper, you kind of see individual value pockets and some underrated players within the ADP rather than the whole position being kind of pushed up the board.
Yeah, and on the Sleeper platform, like you said, you do notice that the quarterback position as a whole is definitely the sharpest values compared to that of ESPN and on Yahoo. We do see them relatively pushed up compared to sites, you know, like Underdog Fantasy, for example. But across the board, we do see some stomachal values at the quarterback position. Still a slight value to be had on, you know, rushing archetypes compared to your proven pocket passers. You know, guys like, for example, CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes. You know, we do see like Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, all kind of get pushed up ADP. We do see some valuations in terms of the rushing quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts. We have only one spot after where he goes. Lamar Jackson pushed up a little bit, maybe because of his MVP. I don't know, but he does actually go higher of the rushing quarterbacks comparatively. But for the most part, your Jalen Hurtses, your Anthony Richardson, your Kyler Murray, another outlier from a pocket passer who actually we think is a value would actually be a guy like Jordan Love. There's some values across the board. Again, the general basis is that the rushing guys are at a value versus the pocket passers. But at the end of the day, in terms of the micro differences, like you say, there are some values to be had both early, mid, and potentially at the late quarterback one position. So no matter the draft strategy you do perform, you should be able to do it pretty efficiently.
Yeah, and feeling out the position, honestly, is a good strategy on ESPN and Yahoo, because you know that you can just kind of fade the position, worst case scenario, and you'll get good values late. But on Sleeper, it actually kind of makes sense if the value lines up for you to deviate for an early quarterback like Jalen Hurts. Like you said, it's basically ranked at ADP for us. Anthony Richardson, also an early quarterback. Maybe you want to take a mid QB1 like a Kyler Murray or a Jordan Love, who we have ranked as good values here. Or worst case scenario, you kind of punt the quarterback position late. You go towards a Jaden Daniels, a Caleb Williams, a Trevor Lawrence, or even really late with like a Matthew Stafford or Deshaun Watson or somebody like that. So definitely a position, like you said, and this is going to be a theme of this whole video. Sleeper is easily the most sharp home league ADP out there. Yahoo, NFL, ESPN, no idea what they're doing with their ADP. It's not sharp at all, very exploitable, but Sleeper is a lot more in line with what I think it should be. And it kind of makes sense because you have a full PPR league, you have two wide receivers, you have two flexes. It makes it so that sharper players are probably playing on the platform. And two, I don't believe Sleeper really incorporates defenses and kickers into their ADP. No. So that's probably also partially why the ADP seem a lot more in line with what you guys are going to see in your home leagues. But moving off of the quarterback position, we can kind of talk about running back here. And it's very similar to Yahoo and ESPN, only kind of somewhat dialed back, because the early targets of like Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, even Barkley actually have decent value on Sleeper, Travis Etienne, Achan, Pacheco, and James Cook. There's actually a lot more early round running back targets that are equivalent value in terms of where we have them ranked versus Yahoo and ESPN, where like running back as a whole is kind of pushed up the board. But the same kind of sentiment still applies. Punt the running back dead zone into the moon, beginning right around the Joe Mixon range and ending at around the Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler range, as you guys can see on the screen. And to get your running backs, take one or two anchors early of the guys that I mentioned. Bijan, Breece, Gibbs, Barkley, ETN, Achan, Pacheco, and Cook are the ones that are ranked at or below where we have them ranked in the sleeper ADP. So again, definitely the type of strategy you're going to want to employ is a hero or a double hero strategy this year. But I will say, of the three videos we've done so far, this is the most conducive to zero RB because you have that extra wide receiver flex spot. It is full PPR. The quarterback and tight end positions are properly valued, as we'll get into with the tight end. And you can deviate for quarterback, deviate for tight end, and build out yourself a zero RB if you need to. But again, that's, as we talked about in the zero RB video, it's not the most optimal strategy this year because you're getting half decent running back value. So hero and double hero is kind of what we're looking at in terms of the sleeper video here.
Yeah, and if you wanted to go with a zero, if it was a deeper league format, I think that would have some premise. But knowing specifically the default scoring of these three sites being so shallow with the two running back, two wide receiver, one flex format, we actually do think if you are drafting in your home leagues, grabbing a running back early would be the optimal way to go. You did mention the running back dead zone. You do want to punt that still. After that range of the draft is done, though, you're free to hammer out running backs because there are some really good projectable running backs at that range. You know, guys like Jonathan Brooks, Ramondre Stevenson, Jalen Bourne, Trey Benson, Tajay Spears, Brian Robinson, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, Chase Brown. They're all popping at great value. So as long as you're fading the mid-round landmines, the mid-round, you know, dead zone area, you're actually going to be able to get some solid value at the running back position versus the other sites, potentially pushing every single running back up board after the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, and I think the honeypot is going to be a lot better on Sleeper than it would be on ESPN and Yahoo, because as we saw during the mock drafts that we did in those videos, it was like, oh, okay, on Underdog, when you miss out on the dead zone running backs, you can just grab Zamir White in round 8. You can grab Javonte Williams in round 9. That doesn't exist on Yahoo and ESPN. Those guys go in like round 5 or 6. On Sleeper, it's a little bit better because even if you do miss out on the dead zone running backs because you don't want to take Aaron Jones and James Conner and guys like that, in round 7, round 8, you can still get half decent running back production like Ramondre Stevenson, like Tony Pollard, Najee Harris, Zamir White, Raheem Mostert, guys like that. They're actually a little bit more appropriately valued as opposed to the whole running back position, like you said, being pushed up the board regardless of their projection whatsoever. So the wide receiver position, obviously these two positions work in tandem here. The prices are a lot more efficient on Sleeper. They are not nearly as big of values on Sleeper as they were on Yahoo and ESPN. But as you can see, you're still getting pretty good value in the mid rounds on some of these wide receivers versus where we have them ranked. In the early rounds, you can see small values like Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, a little bit bigger on Nico Collins and Jalen Waddle coming out a nice discount. But for the most part, as we said, this is a good area of the draft to potentially get your anchor or double anchor running back in that early to rounds 1 to 3 portion of the draft. So this part of the board makes sense to take your running backs early, which means that you need to take advantage of that mid-round wide receiver value as well.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like you said, tons of value in the mid rounds at the wide receiver position. Specific names, guys like, you know, Malik Nabers, Cooper Kupp, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, you know, Rashid Rice, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, Ladd McConkey. The list goes on and on. The wide receiver position as a whole is filled with very good values across the board. And during the running back dead zone, like we said, if we're not drafting running backs in this area, the next best option would be drafting the wide receiver position where you're actually getting good opportunity cost on your picks. You're not just drafting Alvin Kamara super early in your drafts based off his ADP. You're actually getting some quality wide receivers that can fill your lineup in a full PPR.
Yeah, and again, you can start up to 4 wide receivers in the default sleeper setting with 2 wide receivers and 2 flexes. It's also, as we talk about in the dead zone video, a great spot to deviate for quarterbacks and tight ends because the elite quarterbacks and the elite tight ends kind of generally go in this like round 4 to 7 range as well. So again, very easy to come up with a strategy. And honestly, to like, I look at Underdog and the way that they've gone so far in the way of running backs are evil. We hate running backs. Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Etienne are like 4th and 5th round picks sometimes. I actually think Sleeper is a really good balance of what it should be, which is why we're a lot more in line with ADP in terms of how you guys want to be drafting in your home leagues, where sleeper and you know, underdog have still like a 10 spot difference between like Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Etienne types. We don't think those guys should be going well behind Christian Kirks of the world like they do on underdog. We think they are definitely RB1 upside type of guys, and that's why we want to be taking them in that 2-3 turn area. And you can know that you're getting good wide receiver value in the mid rounds, all the way from that Deebo Samuel range all the way down to like Ladd McConkey, as you guys can see on the screen there. So moving into the tight end position, again, very similar to quarterback. It's not black and white like it was on ESPN and Yahoo. Every quarterback was overvalued on Yahoo and ESPN. Tight end is very much like micro player take level. Some guys are overvalued, some guys are properly valued, some guys are, you know, undervalued and things of that nature. So again, it's very similar. The early round tight ends, the Sam Laportas and the Travis Kelce's, a little bit more expensive than they ought to be relative to the way we rank Trey McBride, Andrews, Kincaid, and Pitts.
Yeah, and tight end three is a difference. You know, for example, Trey McBride goes here versus Mark Andrews on the other two videos we made, going as the tight end three off the board in those other two platforms with ESPN and Yahoo. The thing that remains constant, though, is that the mid-range tight ends are still our targets. You know, there are some baffling valuations over the board. Like, for example, if you look down the board on some of these proven tight ends, Evan Engram, you know, Dallas Goedert, TJ Hawkinson, Dalton Schultz, Cole Kmet, Ben Sinnott, which actually shocked me. I expected, you know, potentially a redraft platform to be lower on Ben Sinnott, but Sleeper has him even 28 spots higher than we do, and we love Ben Sinnott. So that did shock us. In terms of the best values, though, if you're drafting across the board and you want to pick the spots again as a whole, tight ends are pushed up in redraft versus best ball leagues. We still like Trey McBride. We still like Kyle Pitts. We still like George Kittle. And we actually like Pat Freiermuth here.
Yeah, exactly. Again, those mid-range tight end ones, kind of pick your spots to deviate. I really like when I'm doing mock drafts on Sleeper, because obviously all my home leagues are on Sleeper as well. Same. Kyle Pitts, George Kittle, and Kincaid and those type of guys tend to be the range that I like to go towards, because the wide receiver position dries up a little bit. Obviously, you're in the midst of the RB dead zone. I've talked about on numerous occasions that I'm not super, super in on the elite quarterbacks, especially in that range of the draft where Mahomes, Lamar, and those guys are already off the board. It's, do I want to take the onesie at Kyle Pitts, or do I want to take the onesie with Anthony Richardson or CJ Stroud? Usually I choose the guy like Kyle Pitts there. I also don't mind the Brock Bowers, David Njoku, Jake Ferguson area of the draft as well. Yeah, as I talked about in the best draft strategy video a couple days ago, that is like, I need to draft basically a tight end better than Jake Ferguson in this ADP. Like I like to get myself a top end tight end this year, because I do think those projections are pretty strong at the top.
Yeah, for sure. Cause if we look at it after Dallas, after Jake Ferguson, the only valuation that we actually like would be the Pat Freiermuth with minus six. We have him six spots higher than where he goes here. But other than that, like Jake Ferguson about where we have him ranked, David Njoku about where we have him ranked, Brock Bowers, same thing. The only real like difference, I would say, in our rankings compared to the ADP would be that of Laporta going much higher and Evan Engram going much higher. But for the most part, Jake Ferguson up is the tight end I want to be grabbing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you guys are interested in this whole like table that we have here, this is a feature of our draft guide where we have our FSE rankings versus home league ADP sites, especially if you're playing on multiple different sites. Sleeper one league is on, and then ESPN another league is on. This is an extremely valuable resource, so you know which targets, which values make sense by platform. So quick strategy summary, and then we'll get into the actual mock draft that we're going to do at the end of this video. At the quarterback position, there's values to be had early, there's values to be had mid, there's values to be had late. So pick your spots carefully. At running back, ideally secure one or two running backs early. Anchor yourself with a hero or a double hero build. Avoid the running back dead zone, as we always talk about. Backfill late in the draft with your bench. Take a lot of flyers on J.K. Dobbins and Rico Dowdles and Ty Chandlers and guys like that, as we're probably going to do in the mock draft. And then take the value at wide receiver, particularly in the mid rounds, knowing it's a two wide receiver, two flex, full PPR league. Ideally, you want to line up with four plus wide receivers through the first seven rounds, especially if you do play the default sleeper settings. Obviously, if yours is different, you have more wide receiver spots, less wide receiver spots, make adjustments as the listener to this video. And then the tight end position, like we said, pretty fairly priced across the board, but good value on the mid tight ends, particularly like Pitts and Kittle and those type of guys. And then the low end tight end ones, David Njoku, Brock Bowers, those type of guys. So we're going to get right into the mock draft. We'll be picking one early, one late. All right, so we are now into the draft, and unlike the ESPN Yahoo videos, we're not going to tag team a roster, because obviously Sleeper's mock draft system is pretty easy to use for both of us here. So you're going to be picking from an early slot. I'm going to be picking from a late slot, trying to execute the strategies that we talked about, like I said already, with the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight end. Again, we're using the default scoring settings for Sleeper: one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, two flex, and a full PPR format. So Danny, Let's get you on the board here at the 102. CeeDee Lamb actually goes off the board first. So are you going to go in the direction of Christian McCaffrey potentially to get yourself an anchor running back, or are you going to go in the direction of, say, Tyreek Hill and see what falls back to you at the 211?
Yeah, I think both are very quality options. Again, CeeDee Lamb is my 101 at this point. I do have it very close between Christian McCaffrey and with Tyreek Hill. Knowing that you're most likely going to be taking a wide receiver at the 110, again, I actually have Tyreek Hill as my 2, McCaffrey as my 3, but for the diversity of the mock, for those of you that are watching at home, again, McCaffrey is probably going to go above Tyreek in a lot of your leagues. I'll experiment, and see how this McCaffrey team looks. Sorry, I'm kind of mumbling my words.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's good for people to know how to build a team around McCaffrey because we're obviously not huge McCaffrey guys, but we do want to kind of still show you guys, if you want to take McCaffrey, how we would build around him and things of that nature. So on the board right now, my highest rated player is Garrett Wilson. So that's the direction that I'm going to go. I am getting this close to putting Garrett Wilson above Justin Jefferson in my rankings. I currently have Jefferson at 8 and Garrett Wilson at 9 with the recent news of JJ McCarthy's injury. I'm starting to wonder if Garrett Wilson is actually the play there because of the Rodgers situation versus the Sam Darnold for most of the year situation. But again, we're still awaiting word on JJ McCarthy. I absolutely believe Justin Jefferson's a better real life receiver than Garrett Wilson, but I could see in fantasy this year a massive, massive production ceiling for Garrett Wilson. So I'm back on the board here. I got Garrett Wilson to start my draft. Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Marvin Harrison, and Puka Nacua go off the board. The back of the board is a really hard spot to draft from this year. Like, if you guys are wondering what's the best spot to draft from, it is clearly having a top 8 overall pick, getting somebody Breece Hall or better. But at the back end of the board, I'm sure you guys still want advice on what to do here. So would I go in the direction and tie break, let's say, Saquon Barkley over Drake London, who is my highest rated wide receiver? Or would I take Drake London here and kind of hope that I get somebody fall back to me at the 310? I don't believe I'm going to have a great running back fall back to me. I think it's probably unlikely that Pacheco or ETN or Kyren or Derrick Henry or somebody like that would fall back to me. So what I'm going to do is tie break this decision here and end up with Saquon Barkley and Garrett Wilson to start my draft. Could go Achan, could go, I mean, Taylor was off the board, but if he was on the board, could go with him. Probably a little early for Kyren in my opinion, but definitely something that I'm comfortable doing. Again, I don't love taking Saquon Barkley at the 203, but if I have to tie break between Saquon Barkley, Drake London, I don't think it's like a massive, massive value discrepancy.
For sure. And going back to my pick here, we do see, you know, Adams, Laporta, like I kind of mentioned, goes a little bit higher on sleeper than I'd be willing to take him, goes at the 2.5 here. Kyren, you know, Drake London, for example, falls a couple spots. I think he's a good value at 2.7. Chris Olave, Derrick Henry, and then Travis Etienne. Now, there are a few main considerations for this pick for me. There is, in particular, one running back that I'm eyeing, as well as 3 wide receivers. And knowing the nature of the position, knowing that, again, this is a 2 wide receiver, 2 flex league, I love the wide receiver projections in the mid-round. So I'm actually going to try a double hero from this spot, building around McCaffrey, grabbing Devon Achane, and knowing that it's probably likely that I'm going to be able to get a receiver that I really like at this 3-2. So I'm going to play the game here. Ayuk goes, Jacobs goes, and perfect. I can grab the guy that I actually have valued as a top 15 overall player in my rankings, with Nico Collins. So if you're kind of evaluating in the first 3 rounds what I was able to leave with, I was able to leave with my 3rd ranked player with McCaffrey. I was able to leave with my 16th ranked player with Devon Achane. And now I'm getting my 14th ranked player here with Nico Collins. So again, taking, you know, the running backs early typically doesn't go by my personality, but knowing that the wide receivers are so attainable in this format and knowing that the tie breaks in terms of the Achane McCaffrey, it's not like I'm taking them over better projections of receiver. I'm literally just tie breaking it off the fact that they're a running back and I like the wide receivers later on.
Yeah, exactly. And you're getting 2 elite upside swings at running back. You're getting an elite upside swing at wide receiver. That is why it is way better to pick where Danny is picking from than where I'm picking from. Like the projection, the 3 start of Garrett Wilson, Saquon Barkley, and the player that I'm about to take here, which is Jalen Waddle, my next ranked wide receiver, is I just would much rather have McCaffrey, Achane, and Collins personally. As much as I don't mind this start, like Garrett Wilson, Barkley, and Waddle is pretty solid, I do definitely prefer your start to it. I was actually kind of almost willing to take Jalen Hurts if he had fallen back to me, but he did not in that situation. I'm not going to deviate for a tight end here. I think it's a little early for McBride given the running back and wide receiver projections on the board. I actually really do like James Cook this year. So if I do go running back, that'll be the direction I go. Do I want to go hero RB here and just stick with Barkley, take a projection that I really feel good about with Cooper Kupp or with Devontae Smith or with DK Metcalf? I am going to go in the direction of Cooper Kupp here. I got Garrett Wilson, Waddle, and Kupp already. tethering myself to, again, as I always talk about here, great offenses, Jets, Eagles, Dolphins, and Rams. I feel all pretty good about those offenses that I'm tethering myself to. And with Wilson and Kupp specifically, I feel good that they can really command a lot of targets and score touchdowns with Waddle. Obviously, you're hoping for more kind of efficient type of looks, but I feel pretty good about this team so far.
Yeah, I think you're doing a really good job here. This is the decision point, I think, if you're picking at the early portion of your draft. If you do start two running backs early, again, I wanted to kind of do an experiment here because typically I would be a guy that would take Tyreek Hill at two overall and have this build with Tyreek Hill. Because I went with the second running back, if I had started with Tyreek Hill and I had Tyreek Nico Collins, I would have more affordability to draft one of these tight end values at this spot. But because I grabbed two running backs at the 1-2 and the 2-11, again, I want to put myself in your shoes here. I think personally, if you do have only one wide receiver after the first three rounds, you more than likely have to take two at the 4-11-5-2 bend. So for me personally, the way I'm looking at it here is George Pickens. Again, there was a lot of reports early on that Brandon Ayuk would be a Pittsburgh Steeler. At this point, it does not look to be the case. It looks like it's more than likely that Brandon Ayuk will be back on the 49ers. And again, you could talk about the situation not being the greatest, but with George Pickens, we did see when he functioned as the true number one wide receiver of the Steelers last year, he was really efficient, young player, nearly 2.8 yards per route run in that four-game stretch. At the 4-11, again, I understand there are concerns about his overall situation, but getting a young breakout candidate here really feels good. It's funny he went a pick after Metcalf because it's a similar case to that of DK Metcalf. And I was hoping T. Higgins would follow back. Fortunately, he didn't, but I'm still fine with some of these other wide receivers. Specifically, again, this is later down the board, but you know what? I'm going to showcase the ADP. I'm going to let you get that falling Rashee Rice value because I'll take Amari Cooper here because it's more aligned with the ADP. But I personally, based off my rankings, actually have Rashee Rice ranked there. It's just knowing the ADP of the platform, let's showcase it a little bit to you.
Yeah, I'll probably be rolling with Rashee Rice with this pick likely, but I will take a look around here. The one thing I will say about Brandon Ayuk and the Steelers situation is apparently there's two options on the table for Ayuk right now. He can either accept the deal that the 49ers have laid out for him, or he can get ready to learn Arthur Smith. Okay. And be a Pittsburgh Steeler and probably get more money, I would assume, from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he would have to stay a Pittsburgh Steeler for a long time. And this is pretty insane that Trey McBride fell to me. So I can't pass on him. So, I mean, maybe it's unrealistic. I don't think he would fall that far. Even if that was Kyle Pitts, I'd be totally fine taking him with that selection. Even George Kittle, I think I have ranked around that range too. So I had to take Trey McBride to me. That was just way too good of a value to pass up. The quarterback position, I mean, I could just stack up Kyler with Trey McBride right now, which is maybe what I'm going to end up doing. As much as I really love Rashee Rice, I like the idea of stacking up Kyler with his number one tight end. And I've built out a pretty nice hero RB so far. I still feel confident that at the 7-10, 8-0-3, I should be able to get some good wide receiver value. So as much as I would have loved to just take Rashee Rice or Jaden Reed or something, I think getting Kyler and McBride stacked up felt pretty good at that value.
For sure. Team three is really making a big time decision right now. Once he's ready, I'll make my pick. But all jokes aside, press the let CPU auto pick and perfect. We are set. I mentioned I considered Rashee Rice at the last pick, but I wanted to showcase the ADP. I feel more than comfortable showcasing the ADP when I'm able to add him to my team at the 6-11. So Rashee Rice feels really good there. Ramondre Stevenson does go on the turn along with Chris Godwin. I'll take a look at the quarterbacks. Again, feels a little bit early for this range. Had Kyler Murray fallen back, I would have taken a quarterback here. And that's a tight end position. Again, just guys that I would feel more comfortable taking at that 8-9 turn. And knowing that a lot of the teams in front of me do have their quarterback and tight end settled, I will take the risk. I'll take another wide receiver here with Jordan Addison and kind of see what falls. Actually, wait, Calvin Ridley's here. I'll take Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley makes some sense there, especially knowing that you have Rice. If he does catch a suspension midseason or something like that, Ridley would be a good fill in there. So I'm back on the board here, and I am glad I punted the wide receiver position because I have Ladd McConkey ranked ahead of some of the guys that went ahead of him here, like Terry McLaurin and Chris Godwin and Jordan Addison. I have McConkey ranked over all those guys, so I'll take Ladd McConkey here. Hopefully I can dovetail one more wide receiver potentially, and then I'll start attacking the running back position. I do actually have Raheem Mostert on the board right now, as well as Javonte Williams and Jaylen Warren and guys like that. I don't know. I'm in a tough spot here. I feel like I love the wide receiver value too much to take a running back, but at the same time, I feel like if I don't take one here, I might get locked out a little bit and be looking at, you know, Brian Robinson as my RB2. But you know what? I'm actually very much okay with that. So what I'm going to do here is, because I have four wide receivers I feel pretty confident in, I mean, McConkey's a little bit more of a risk. What I'm going to do is take a guy who I feel is a little safer than McConkey, but also is a really high upside play in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think if McConkey's not 100% a starter week one, I can use JSN, but I absolutely believe McConkey will be a starter week one. And between those two guys, I feel like I'm going to have a every week flex, depending on matchups and who's performing well.
For sure. And I mean, I'm back on the clock here at the 8-11. We mentioned the tight end range we want to be dealing with as being Jake Ferguson and above. Just so happens that Jake Ferguson does fall to me here. So at the 8-11, willing to take that. It would have been really nice if both him and Dak had fallen. Of course, Dak wants to go at the 8-7 right before I pick. But yeah, I do grab Jake Ferguson here. Really solid mid-range tight end one projection and has the potential upside to be a higher range tight end one. I get a lot of people will point to the fact that, oh, he's, you know, not David Njoku athletic or not Kyle Pitts athletic, but he is very similar to the archetype, which got TJ Hawkinson to be a top three tight end, working with a passing quarterback, working in an offense that will be up there in terms of overall point volume, in terms of overall passing volume. Jake Ferguson, if he were to break out, would look relatively similar to Minnesota Vikings TJ Hawkinson. So feel good about that at the 8-11. Back on the clock here, could grab another running back projection. And you know what? Considering that I do have five wide receivers I feel very strong about, and there's a couple still receivers down the board. Actually, what am I saying? Brian Thomas Jr. fell to the 9-2. I will be taking that every time. Sorry.
That's pretty solid. I think you could have also made the argument to potentially take one of Purdy or Tua with your picks, because even though you don't have them really correlated as far as like a pass catcher, you do have both of the starting running backs of those two teams. So you're taking the bet basically that the 49ers will be a top five offense with McCaffrey there. The Dolphins will be a top five offense with Achane there. I probably would have gone with Tua Tagovailoa at that selection because he is the quarterback I rank highly, but pretty solid nonetheless.
See, I agree with that overall. I will say again, maybe I made a mistake given this current algorithm that they'll just take backup quarterbacks. But for the most part in your leagues, like not every single member of your league up until round 10 is just going to be drafting a backup quarterback. So typically here, knowing that all these teams have a quarterback, you should, for the most part, feel comfortable that one of those guys will fall back. Also, not to mention, I have a guy like Jaden Daniels in the back pocket, worst case. So feel good about that again. That could all go to schmoot if all these, you know, AI-generated teams just randomly smash, you know, backup quarterbacks here.
Yeah, well, it looks like some of them are already starting to.
That's the issue.
Taking Brock Purdy. But again, maybe your league mates, or not all of your league mates at least, are that stupid. I am on the board here. Again, you guys might be absolutely panicking because I only have one running back on my roster, but this is the hero RB. We talk about it all the time. Round 7 to 8, you want to pound out wide receivers, get yourself an elite quarterback, an elite tight end if you can. And then you start attacking the running back position late. And I have a guy on the board, two guys, actually, a couple guys with guaranteed touches and one of them with a lot of upside. So I'm taking Chase Brown here. And I think one of the other guaranteed touches guys should fall back to me. And he does. And Brian Robinson. So I'm going to just grab my guaranteed 14 points a game or 12 points a game at worst case scenario with Chase Brown and Brian Robinson to dovetail my team into an absolute monster. And I feel actually very good about the team I've drafted so far.
Yeah. And speaking of just getting cooked here, like all the teams just decided to take backup quarterbacks, literally got left with what, five backup quarterbacks go off the board by the 10th round. Again, if you're in this position in your league and you know that this is going to happen, maybe in my spot you take a quarterback earlier, but I mean sometimes it's going to happen. Your league mates aren't the sharpest tools in the shed, let's just say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got a guy on the board who was a top six quarterback in ADP last year and you just took his future number one wide receiver, so that'd probably be the direction I would go in.
I will play it right after Blake Corum because if the Caleb Williams guy takes him, perfect. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, totally makes sense there. And again, as we talk about on numerous occasions, in this area of the draft, play into the chaos. It's probably not worthwhile drafting Mike Williams or Tyler Lockett or Romeo Dobbs. It's like, especially when you have six wide receivers on your roster. I already have five wide receivers on my roster. I'm going to be pretty set at that position. So as much as I like Khalil Shakir or, you know, I think maybe Josh Palmer, Josh Downs, some of these guys are a little underrated in ADP. They don't fit my team. I already have lockdown starters. There's no point in me holding a guy like that on my bench. I'm just simply swinging for upside, swinging for guys who can benefit from chaos at the running back position. So that's why I'm going to take J.K. Dobbins here. And then hopefully maybe like a Jalen Wright or a Rico Dowdle fall back to me. And that's exactly what happens. So I'm going to take Rico Dowdle here. So even though I only have Saquon Barkley as a guy that you guys feel confident starting every single week, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel confident starting Chase Brown in my RB2 slot week one. I feel confident starting Brian Robinson in my RB2 slot week one. He does play against the Buccaneers, so probably not him. But Chase Brown specifically, I could throw into my RB2 spot. As long as I get an RB2 on any given week between these four guys, I'm very much chilling. I'm totally in a decent spot. And the upside of Chase Brown, of J.K. Dobbins, and of Rico Dowdle specifically dictate that if these guys hit big, it's possible I'm even benching one of my top five wide receivers in one of my flex spots.
For sure. And I mean, speaking of Ty Chandler is a guy that I feel really comfortable about by all reports. It does sound like they do view in Minnesota Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler as a 1A, 1B punch. Aaron Jones, we know, veteran running back, 1 year deal, has had his history of injury concerns. So getting a high upside value, even if he was just considered a handcuff, I'd feel comfortable taking Ty Chandler at the 12-11. But knowing that he could actually have some standalone value in that backfield, feel really good about him getting that 12-11 spot.
Yeah, and we only did a 12-round draft just for simplicity and time sake. But obviously, if you have a 15-round draft or whatever, we would just continue kind of hammering out upside swings at this point in the draft because, you know, you take rookie wide receivers like Jalen Polk and Xavier Leggett and guys like that who are still on the board, or Troy Franklin later on the draft, Audric Estime. Like, we have late-round targets videos on that. You can check out the one that says the next Puka, I believe, on the thumbnail. But definitely check out exactly the builds that we went through again. We use those tiebreakers early on. Did I really want to take Saquon Barkley over Drake London? Not necessarily, but I'm glad I did because I was left holding the bag at running back had I not done that. I would have had to take James Cook at the 310, which, again, not terrible, but I would rather have Barkley and Waddle versus Drake London and James Cook in that 2v2 there, which is why you use that tiebreaker in the early rounds with the running back position, where if you got two guys ranked similarly, you go with the running back knowing that you're probably going to get good wide receiver value, which I did with Wilson, with Waddle, with Kupp, with McConkey and Smith and Jigba. I feel really good about that. Again, I don't think that you're going to end up getting McBride and Kyler at the 5-6 turn like I did, but even if that's Pitts and I took another wide receiver there, or if it's Pitts and I took Joe Burrow there, or whatever quarterback you think would actually be on the board, I would still like how my team looks regardless. It's just absolutely nutted that I got McBride and Kyler there. And then I pound out my running back depth. Again, in a hero RB, the weakest spot on your lineup is your RB2 slot, not your flexes. Your weakest spot is your RB2 slot. Chase Brown's going to be my early round guy, or my early season guy. Brian Robinson, my early season guy. J.K. Dobbins and Dowdle, maybe some late season upside.
Yeah, and then the inverse for me, you kind of went with the hero running back draft strategy there, grabbed your hero with Saquon, waited till the ninth round. I did a similar archetype in the sense that I punted the running back position in the dead zone in the rounds 3 to 7 area, but as you guys can see, I did grab my double hero up top with Christian McCaffrey with Devon Achane. Again, if you are not a fan of the double hero draft strategy, maybe the differences you would make on your team would be Tyreek Hill at the 102 or Brandon Ayuk potentially at that 211. But for the purpose of kind of giving you guys a different strategy, again, obviously Corey did the hero, I want to kind of showcase the double hero. And obviously, as you guys know, we're kind of zero RB bros at heart, knowing our thoughts on the running back position. But knowing how I landed the plane here, grabbing my two anchors early, not grabbing 3, 4, 5, 6 through the running back dead zone, waiting till round 10, grabbing a high priority tandem running back there with Blake Corum and another one there with Ty Chandler. Again, for the most part, Christian McCaffrey and Devon Achane are not leaving my lineup. So prioritizing upside after those two players would be the way to go. Because again, I don't need guaranteed touches. I have arguably the biggest bell cow we've ever seen in the last, 15 years of the NFL since LaDainian Tomlinson and Christian McCaffrey. Like, this is a guy that's averaging 22, 23 opportunities per game in the best offense in the league. Not to mention Devon Achane. Again, is he going to be a 23 opportunity per game back like Christian McCaffrey? Probably not, but he showed last year on 14, 15 opportunities per game, he could be a legitimate difference-making, league-breaking type of running back. So feel really good, not to mention feel ecstatic of the fact that I locked up two of the five best offenses in the league in my first two picks.
Yeah, and I mean, having all those wide receivers to be able to mix and match matchups with, and again, maybe you want to be a little stronger at the onesies, but for the most part, I think that's probably fine. You could have maybe deviated away from grabbing wide receiver value, and again, that's why you do mock drafts, too. That's why you experiment with stuff. At that spot where you took Amari Cooper, you're like, you know what? I know I'm going to get good wide receiver value later, like Ridley, like Rice, like Brian Thomas, like Smith and Jigba, who I took, like McConkey, who I took. I'm actually going to deviate for Dalton Kincaid there. I'm actually going to deviate for Mark Andrews there, or Kyle Pitts there, or Trey McBride there, whoever is on the board there. So again, that is the end of this video. Again, if you got some value from it, leave a like down below. Subscribe to the channel if you're new around here. If you guys play on Sleeper, which I'm sure you do if you clicked on this video, one thing I say of all the videos we've done so far, Yahoo and ESPN, maybe not so much, but Sleeper especially, if you do drafts on Underdog Fantasy, you will be overprepared for your fantasy football drafts, because Underdog Fantasy is where the best fantasy players are playing. You get a very good idea to how much data and research and money and time goes into sharpening up the Underdog Fantasy ADP. And when you draft on Underdog Fantasy, you're going to get a lot of good exposure, a lot of good practice. It's so much better than just doing regular mock drafts in Sleeper or regular mock drafts on ESPN or regular mock drafts on Yahoo. You get real life practice. You can win big prizes. And when you sign up using the promo code FSE, you get 100% back up to $250. You get a special pick them in your lobby, and you get our draft guide emailed to your email inbox within 24 hours of your first deposit of a minimum of $10. So sign up on Underdog, do some drafts, sharpen up for your home league. You will be overprepared, and you'll get our rankings, our draft guide. FSE versus home leagues, as we kind of showcased, is one of the features, our draft guide. We have so many other features, our positional rankings, tiered, overall, super flex, risk ratings, the truth series, fantasy football news blurbs, all the research that goes into all of our videos, spreadsheets and things of that nature. All of that is available in our draft guide. You can get it for free with just a $10 sign up on Underdog Fantasy with our code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account, you can obviously tell a friend about Underdog. They can forward you the draft guide access, or you can head on over to flockfantasy.com, use the code FSE over there, 30% off, 7-day free trial, 6 months for free when you sign up annually. But with that being said, peace out, and we'll talk to you soon.